You're listening to the Andre Segovia Show.
And welcome to the Andre Segovia Show, everyone. I am your host, yours truly. And in this episode, I got a big announcement to make, and I'm excited to make it. And to make the announcement, I brought someone on that has inside knowledge to help me make that announcement. Before I bring him on, I wanted to tell you that it's been a crazy September, whereas August was depressing news, September was crazy news. And if you missed my previous episodes, I recommend that you basically catch up on those to get up to speed on what's going on, because I'll be giving more updates throughout the fall and winter leading up to January about some of the craziness that's going on in our states and in the economy altogether, because there's a lot of misinformation out there, and I'm here to set the record straight. And now on our newsmaker line, we have Andres, a blast from the past. Andres, the original host of the Andres Segovia Show. Welcome to the new Andres Segovia Show.
Hey, thanks so much for having me, Andres.
Hey, thank you for being on the program with me today, because I got a lot of questions to ask you. There's going to be a lot of questions that are going to come up with what we're going to announce a little later. I'll let you do your plug-in in a bit. But before we get there, I want to basically do the contrast of who you were versus who you are today. And to that, we got to go all the way back, which is why I invited you on the program. So can you explain to the audience who you were back right around the time you started the Andre Segovia Show?
Well, yeah, thank you. I know it's a complete deviation of what the show used to be, but the concept remains the same, right? To be able to educate and inform people. Well, back then, when I was getting around the time that I was going to do the show, I was a political activist. So I am an unapologetic conservative Christian, and in that order, by the way, because I felt that I was a minority where I was surrounded by the different peers when I was in college. The activist professors would always be using their positions of like their classes as their soapboxes, and no one would challenge them. And I got to a point where I was so fed up that I finally, in a way, snapped and started basically challenging the professors, because they were really undeterred from what they had to do. And some professors wised up to it and respected me for standing up for my beliefs and challenging them, not just taking the status quo, as they would say. I guess I was challenging authority or questioning authority and such. And because I was practicing what they were preaching, they basically allowed me that, and they said that they appreciated it. Where there were the other half of the professors that did not appreciate that. They did not want to be challenged. And they threatened to basically dock down my grades for it.
Yeah, you know, that's the thing, that a lot of people hear about that, but they never actually see it happen. And the fact that you're mentioning that is there's things that other students at the time were also bringing up to light, because there were activist professors that wanted to silence dissenting opinions because it was what they said went. And if you didn't agree, something was wrong with you.
Yeah. And I that happening a lot today, where it's assumed that if you have a different opinion from the mainstream press or the social justice warrior, then you must be mentally ill.
Yeah, and meanwhile, they're the ones that tell you that they want to have a dialogue, right?
Oh my goodness, yes, I know. Like that Ted Cruz and Alyssa Milano live stream that she was trying to basically do a gotcha on Ted Cruz and completely backfired on her. Yeah, that's exactly the kind of thing.
Well, yeah, for those of you just joining us, I have a blast from the past, the original host of the Andres Segovia Show, Andres himself, on the program, and we're talking about what inspired him to to do the show. But before we continue, for those of you that think that this conversation is getting a little political, that's because in a way it is, because that's how he started way back when, as a bit of a political activist. And I hope you don't mind, Andres, but I got a dog barking in the back, and as many times I told her to be quiet, she just continues to bark.
Hey, don't mind me. You probably hear all that road noise in the background, right? So it's okay. As long as it's not distracting anybody.
So I want to continue. This isn't a political discussion that we want to have, but you were a political activist, and that is basically the heart of what the show used to be. Am I correct in that assessment?
Well, yeah, absolutely, because I learned that my immediate social circle around me was not interested in politics at all, but they were the first to complain whenever anything happened on the world of politics, and they were completely uneducated. And whenever there was an election cycle, it was even more frustrating because they didn't know what to do. Like, oh, I don't know who to vote for. And in some cases, believe it or not, in some cases, they didn't even know who the vice president or any members of power were, besides the president, obviously. And that concerned me, so that inspired me to do the Andres Segovia Show newsletter to basically educate people. And I didn't ask for signups. I basically just forced it onto my friends through email. But back then, people welcomed email, unlike today where there's a lot of spam, right? So I started as a newsletter, which ended up growing over time as technology evolved, which ultimately became a blog, and eventually Twitter got into the game. So it was born, so I was able to use Twitter and podcast. Podcasting was a thing that I was able to do. I just didn't have the platform that you do today to be able to get my podcast out to more ears.
Well, that's true. But as I understand it, your newsletter was able to reach an international audience.
Yes, exactly. I had readers all over the world. It was fantastic. And I had readers in Central America, obviously because of my family, but they were tuning in and they were sharing it with their friends. I had readers in the Middle East, believe it or not. I had Europeans tuning in. I also had people in Far East Asia, outside of China for the most part, but there was some Southern Chinese regions that were able to pick things up besides Hong Kong, and it was really fascinating to see how much traffic I was generating. And as soon as I was able to launch my blog, I was able to get more analytics to find out where all my readers were coming from, and just to see the colors on the map to show me the traffic being driven here to my site was a wonder to behold.
Yeah, congratulations for that. I mean, that must have been super exciting. But at the same time, you weren't just doing the Andres Segovia Show, correct?
No, absolutely not. Because if I did politics alone, I would have lost my mind. So I ended up doing The Critic Corner was my movie review newsletter at the same time, which was even more popular than my politics, because many people don't want to talk about politics, right? But everybody loved the movie, and everybody was really tuning into that, and they loved it. And the Critic Corner grew a lot faster than the Andres Segovia Show. And I just phased it out because I was getting a little tired of devoting so much time to Hollywood. That was really grinding my gears, if you will. But what I was enjoying was being able to connect with crew members of film instead of the front side of the camera where it's the stars, right? Most people like the stars. I'm not one of those. I prefer the media aesthetics, the things that go behind it to make the magic. So being able to connect with directors, producers, and film composers was just a fun ride for me. And Warner Brothers was one of the most supportive of studios to me, where they invited me to different press events. And my favorite, which I thank him forever, is that they invited me to a private screening of The Dark Knight with Heath Ledger and Christian Bale before it came out worldwide. And that was something that I'll never forget. I'll treasure it forever. And I thank Warner Brothers for that momentous occasion.
Yes, absolutely. For us Batman fans, that was a big deal. And I'm jealous that you got to enjoy that out there. Okay, well, you ended up retiring the Critic Corner, though, and around the same time, the Andres Segovia Show evolved. Can you explain the change in the programming, including the name?
Well, yes, because I was getting a lot busier. I had graduated from university by then, and I was getting a lot busier in business, looking, assuming higher positions in the family company. And as I started taking up more time there, and also falling in love and looking at marriage down the line, I wasn't as politically active as I used to be, and I couldn't contribute the thought-provoking pieces and recordings that I would cast or as write-ups as opinion editorials on my website. And because I couldn't devote things to that, I always highlighted headline news. And my headline news was turning into a literal newsreel where I'm just talking about, where I'm just sharing the headlines but not really diving into in-depth analysis. So when I saw there was a newsreel and my Twitter became that, a newsreel, just sharing headlines, I'm like, well, that's exactly it. It's a newsreel. So that's where the name came. But as a byproduct of that, I was able to spread my time around and expand a little bit on the canvas. Like, you know how some newspapers have different sections? They'll have the culture section, the business section, the tech section, sports section, and all that. But that, with the newsreel, I felt I had the ability to do that, and that's why I was able to, in some way, still continue the career corner somewhat, just not as thorough as before. And also, I was able to launch the soundtrack corner, which is something that I've always wanted to do. And ultimately, the tech corner, that's what got me noticed on YouTube and how I was able to amass 1 million views.
That is an awesome story right there, the what you ended up accomplishing with YouTube. And that came about because you didn't have the time to do the Andrew Segovia Show anymore, which is pretty impressive. So you did that for about a decade until I took over and decided that, you know what, this whole thing is not going to work out anymore as a pro bono thing, because we were literally doing this for free, right? So when the idea of a relaunch came in, it required a sizable investment and planning and coordination, and when we finally launched it, it felt like a passing of the torch and the end of an era, but also it was a rebirth. You know, a renewed focus, because for the Andres Segovia Show, and by extension Off the Record, which is rolling out to those that are very slowly being invited onto the program now that we got the website running in the background, it's really cool to see how all those ideas that you did for about 16 years have come to fruition. But the face of this is real estate tech and life, because the principles of what you started with remain. Because that now, instead of arguing with people over ideas, now it's taking what we know to be true and trying to benefit people and helping them succeed in life and motivate them and coach them along the way.
Well, yeah, that's exactly it. And in the world of politics, that's really hard to do. But what you've been able to achieve so far in a very short time, for your renewed focus on the podcast and the website and every social media outlet that you're in, has been really impressive to see it all come about. And I gotta admit, I'm jealous, but that is the beauty of technology, and also the sizable financial investment, you put it.
But I am no way taking for granted all the legwork that you did, because if you didn't lay the groundwork, this never would have happened.
Okay, I'll take that one. Thank you very much.
So we talked about why you're a political activist. We talked about how that led you into doing the show and how the show morphed, and sort of how it's evolved to be for what we're doing now. So tell us, that special announcement that you came on the show to plug in.
Well, I wanted to announce the official collection of the transcripts of the original Andres Segovia Show from 2003 to 2006. So it's 3 years worth of events that are covered here in the book, The Andres Segovia Show, Transcripts of the Early Days. I'm just so excited to finally make it available, because it's a book that's been in the works for so long. There's so much blood, sweat, and tears that I've poured over this, quite literally. And just to see it now available, I'm just so excited to announce it. And I'm hoping that people can see the long road that it took to get to where the show is now. And I'm unapologetic in my politics, but I also understand that it's speaking to a different time. But the collection is still a history book to show, basically, how much things haven't changed, really. There's, of course, there's always things that have changed over time, but what hasn't changed are how people are still divided over politics. If anything, it's even nastier today, which is very sad to see.
Yes, yes it is. I mean, I have seen it for myself and how crazy it has been during the Trump administration. But you also went through a lot of craziness in college, and that was under Bush.
Yeah, oh my goodness. I can't even explain to you how people were picking fights. Like, I wasn't wearing I'm a conservative Christian on my sleeve, and I wasn't looking for fights. The fights just came to me. Like, I remember I was taking World Cinema class over a summer, and one of our projects was to see old-timey movies. And the Cal State University Fullerton Library had those movies for rent in a sound room, but these were laser discs, those really big DVDs, and first come, first serve. And I happened to be that day to be the first one to get Citizen Kane. So I got Citizen Kane, I went to the sound room, and I was getting the movie going. I think about 3 to 5 minutes into it, shortly after the credits, and someone knocked on the door, and it happened to be a classmate of mine. And I didn't know him, but I recognized him from the class, and he asked me if he could sit on in with me for the movie, because I had the only copy. And I thought, oh yeah, by all means, pull up a chair, I told him. So he sat next to me. Well, I restarted the movie. I said, that's no problem. He introduced himself. I introduced myself. We sat down. The movie got going. And as the credits began, he asked me like this, so are you a Republican or a Democrat?
You're kidding. After he introduced himself, that's the first question he came up with?
Yes, and how awkward is that? I'm in a freaking sound room. There is no personal space here. There's nowhere to run, so to speak. And this is like, what, a 3-hour movie or whatever it is. And he's looking at me with those eyes like, you better not say Republican. And I'm looking at him like, I'm Republican. And he just like looked at me, kind of cocked his head back, crossed his arms, and he said, oh. And he just faced the TV. And I'm sitting there like, what the heck, dude? Like, are you for real? Oh, man, that was hilarious. But long story short regarding that, he and I were laughing throughout the movie. We connected very well because of our love of cinema. Well, we got along very well. But that was like the only time we ever really spoken and connected, but we had like that mutual respect. We're like, hey, man, what's up? And that was about it. We never crossed paths outside class again. But at least there was no animosity because of our politics there. He wasn't going around trying to pick a fight. I wish I could say the same about the time I was assaulted outside of a Borders. You remember Borders, right? It was like Barnes & Noble. I was assaulted outside of that by a guy in a vehicle that had issues with me supporting Bush. He just literally just came up and started yelling profanities at me and calling me things. And because of that, when I had told my mom, eventually one day I go to my car and I see that my bumper sticker's gone. My mom had come to my car and taken my bumper sticker because it freaked her out, you know?
Yeah, and that's what's really sad, that we're supposed to be brought together with our differences and be able to have civil discussions. And for the most part, from what I've seen, conservatives are usually the ones making the invitation. And when leftists or progressives are saying they want to have a conversation, normally all they're saying is, we want to ridicule you and belittle you and show how evil you are because you don't believe the way we do. But I would love to see more progressives stand up and say, you know what, let's have a meeting of the minds. You're no less of a person than I am, and we can't have a civil discussion. And hopefully we can get that going.
Yeah, you know, I've been dreaming about that someday, but for a long, long time, and my professor that was an anti-Iraq war activist, she really brought up a lot of different things when we were in class, but I had told her, like, you know, I find it interesting that America, as an aspiring historian that I was and am, I told her, I see ourselves entering another period of turmoil that could lead to a second civil war. And what I've seen lately in politics, especially under the Trump administration, how divided the country has become, not because of Trump, but because of how desperate the other side has become in trying to make him an illegitimate president. We're trying to remove him, or the mere threat of him being able to serve another 4 years is what's really divided this country, where the country just fed up with it. You know, late night talk shows, you can't escape it. Movies are trying to, they squeeze it every time they can to throw it back in your face when movies are supposed to be our escapism. Books, my goodness, magazines, newspapers, wherever they're left over, right? and there's just nowhere for you to be able to escape this. And you can't freely talk politics without someone getting triggered, which is an unfortunate thing, because you kind of have to like watch your shoulder now, you know, especially if you live in a more blue state than red state. But it's just a very sad thing to see what is happening with extreme groups on either side clashing a lot more often than they used to be. But hopefully things will die down and we'll come together as Americans. That's my hope and prayer. And we'll see where things end up.
Yeah, I definitely share your sentiment, Andres. And that's really why I wanted to bring on the show for people to understand a lot more about where you come from and all this, and what you've been able to, the insight that you were able to provide with the Andres Segovia Show. And for you to also see what your show has become. Your baby has grown into this, and it's just a beautiful thing. I thank you for the advanced copy of your book. Being able to read it took me all the way back, and like, my goodness, it's just a lot of stuff, you know, a lot of stuff from way, way, way back when. And I really appreciated that trip down memory lane, and I appreciate the biography you put at the beginning of it, so people can learn more as to what really inspired you to do that, because the show isn't that anymore. But of course, this is off the record segment where we invite people to have these conversations with us, because it's a good thing to have a dialogue of sorts, so we can learn from one another, right?
Well, yeah, absolutely. And I really applaud you for what you've been able to do with the show and where it's come, and how many people it's already helped in such a short time. So it's really cool to see those results.
Yep, definitely. And where can people find your book?
My book is available in print only on Amazon.com. For now, it's on Amazon.com, and it'll ship worldwide because it's on every Amazon throughout the world, which is really awesome. So go ahead, check it out. The Andres Segovia Show, Transcripts of the Early Days by yours truly, is available. And I don't intend to do a Kindle version of this one on purpose, but what I am intending is to be able to see this book at bookshelves eventually, like at Barnes & Noble and other retailers, because I'm trying to strike a deal to get it more widely available.
Now, that'd be exciting. I would love to see that book sitting there, because I believe your illustrator for this book just did such an excellent job in just doing just an eye-catching book. You know, that's just really, really cool. Well, Andres, thank you so much for letting us borrow some of your time. I know you're still driving, so drive to wherever you're going safely. If ever we have another need for a conversation like this, I would love to have you back on the
program. And I would love to be on your show. I mean, it's a nice show, right? That's really, really cool. So thank you so much for having me on.
That was Andres from the Andres Segovia Show from the past, joining us here on the Andres Segovia Show. And that does it for this episode. So for those of you that are interested in learning more about his book, go to Amazon.com. The Andres Segovia Show, Transcript for the Early Days. And if you want to follow me on all the socials, you can. You can learn where all those things are at www.theandressegovia.com. Links to the book will also be in the show notes accompanying this episode. And your support is appreciated. I know I was having a little fun interviewing myself. It's been a long time coming. And honestly, I had a blast doing this, because it's just one of the better ways for me to interact, to give you an idea of just how very different I am now in my approach as I used to be in my younger days, when I was considerably more vocal and active in the political world. So once again, thank you so much for joining me on this episode of the Andres Segovia Show. And as always, I will see you on the next episode.